and a Tuesday night here in the West End. Matt Harmon and the head coach of the Hawks, Kevin Callahan, on this week's edition of the Kevin Callahan Show. We want to welcome you here into Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End after Monmouth puts together an impressive 21-14 victory over the Crusaders of Holy Cross. Big win for Monmouth, their first of the season. On the show tonight, we hope to talk later on with the head coach of the Lions of Columbia, Monmouth's next opponent, Pete Mangurian, in his second year up there in the Bronx. Brandon Maxwell, fifth-year offensive tackle, and senior running back KB Sante. But as we always like to open it up, the recap of last week's game. And, Coach, I know we had some time to talk after this one, doing a little recap down on the field for Hawk Vision. I know you're extremely happy with just the overall performance of your team. And I'll say, short of the last 5 minutes where a couple of late touchdowns from Holy Cross scored, one kind of on a weird play on a botched punt snap, overall a extremely impressive performance, and by far and away, I would have to say, the most complete game the team has played all year.
It was, Matt, and as I told you, it was said on the show last week, you know, I felt we were getting close. Our kids were working extremely hard, and in each of the first three games, I thought that we showed significant improvement from week to week. And as I told the team before the game, you know, we're right at the verge of getting the reward that we had been working for, and it was very good to see our guys go out on both sides of the ball and really have a complete game. You know, I thought first and foremost our defense was dominant, particularly the front seven. Really, Holy Cross, who rushed for 419 yards the previous week, really had very little room to run for the entire day. And I thought the secondary, which had been victimized by some big plays in the first three games, did a good job of taking those things away. But even as impressive as the defensive was, you got to give credit to our offensive line and our running backs. For the second week in a row, we had two running backs go over the 100-yard mark. And there was a point in the game when we put together a 15-play, 98-yard drive, and all but one of the plays were runs. And we really did a good job of moving the line of scrimmage and pounding away.
Let's talk about the offense a little bit, because I think certainly a pretty complete game overall. You mentioned the two guys again over 100 yards for the second consecutive week. Julian Hayes finished up with 130 yards and a touchdown, an average of 4.6 yards per carry. KB Asante, who we'll talk with later, 118 yards. He had a score as well, 4.9 yards per average. So, Coach, those numbers obviously pretty impressive. I'd like to focus on that last one, the average yards per carry, because I thought during the course of the game and broadcasting, obviously, and seeing it, there were so many times where on first down, it went from first and 10 to second and three, second and two, where the playbook just becomes that open, and you can do so many more things on second and short, where there, if it's a three-yard gain and second and seven, all of a sudden it kind of closes things down a little bit more.
It did, Matt, particularly in the second half. And as we talked at halftime as a coaching staff and our offensive coaches met with the offensive unit, you know, we said that we had to be a little bit more consistent. Holy Cross is a defense that gives you a great number of different looks. They bring a lot of zone pressures and guys from different areas, and that type of blitzing team can break you down sometimes. It's difficult to have some consistency, but I thought by the halftime our guys had a pretty good understanding of where those pressures were coming from. We blocked things up extremely well in the second half, and as you said, we ripped off runs, you know, 6, 7, 8, you know, the entire second half.
And it was nice to see almost a continuation of what you had seen from the week before against Lehigh, where in the second half the offensive line basically took the game over and was able to get such good forward push and open up big holes that continued really the whole game. And obviously a big reason why all five guys, but when you have, and we've talked about this before, when you have those three fifth-year seniors in Patterson and Brandon Maxwell, who we'll talk with later, and Mike Hunchak in the middle, that experience is something that you really have to rely on when, to be honest, the quarterback play up until this point has been a little up and down. When you have those three guys, two anchors on the outside and the one guy in the middle, it's kind of something that you can say, okay, guys, here it's your game. Go ahead and take it.
It makes a big difference, and those guys have provided great leadership for our offensive unit. And any time you can run the ball the way that we have in the last 2 weeks, it makes play calling that much easier. It makes it that much easier on the quarterback. It takes a lot of the load off his shoulders, allows him to relax and play, and it really, the running game really opens up things in the pass game.
Brandon Hill, 12 of 22 on the day. As we talk a bit more about the offense, 139 yards, had the one touchdown, didn't turn the ball over, which I thought was important, obviously. Was not sacked on the day also. And, Coach, when you look at his numbers, obviously not, you know, eye-popping off the charts, 12 of 22. But, you know, in a way, you almost go back to that old coach's cliche. When you throw the football, two bad things can happen.
Right.
One is an incompletion, right. One an interception. So if you don't have to throw a lot, why would you? And this was a day that Monmouth really didn't need to throw the football a lot.
We didn't, Matt. And, you know, we're an offense that we are going to throw the ball, and we're going to throw it probably significantly more than we did last Saturday night. But in Saturday night's game, as you said, we didn't have to throw the ball. We were having such success with our running game. We had the two backs, KB and Julian, that were ripping off great chunks of yardage. Our offensive line, as you mentioned, was doing a great job of wearing Holy Cross down. And there was a couple points in the second half as our offense came off the field that the confidence in that our offensive line had, that they were wearing the Holy Cross defenders down, you know, kind of fed into us just being able to feed the ball to our running backs.
I thought one of the more important drives in the game was right before halftime, when Monmouth, who dominated that first half, had the fumble early on in the game after a nice drive put together. KB kind of tried to stretch the ball out and fumbled it at the one-yard line. But then Brandon Hill with a 17-yard touchdown pass to Lamar Davenport to end it. And you talk about not needing to throw the ball a lot. On that one particular throw, it may have been Brandon's best throw of the season so far. He put it right on the money where it needed to be.
He did. It was a terrific throw. He put it in the right spot where the defender couldn't get to it. Lamar Davenport from Asbury Park made a great catch on it. And it really got us going. Up to that point, they had us bottled up a little bit. Getting 7 points on the board just before half, I think, was very important for our team heading into the locker room.
Back-to-back scoring drives in the third and fourth quarter. Julian Hayes capped off a 7-play, 67-yard drive with a 12-yard touchdown run, and KB Asante came back with a 14-yard run. That was the drive you were talking about, 15 plays, 98 yards, that took about 9 minutes off the clock. And Coach, when you look at really all three of the scoring drives, all pretty impressive. The first one, 12-84, 5:50 off the clock, 7-67, 3:19 off the clock, 15-98, 8:52 all the clock. Those are all pretty good, solid drives.
And that's the way that the game went. If you look at the time of possession, I think we outgained them by 12 minutes in terms of the possession clock. And anytime you can do that as an offense, you're going to be in good shape. And it makes playing defense that much easier, knowing that you're going to take valuable time away from the other team's offensive possessions. You go out, get a three and out, and then your offense is going to be on the ball for 5, 6, or 8 minutes.
15 minutes, actually, plus in the time of possession. And the one stat that you and I did talk about a little bit, the impressiveness of the third down conversions, 10 of 19, better than 50% offensively. Again, when you have those numbers and the extra plays and the time of possession, you're going to put yourself in a position to win a lot of games.
You are. And we had that feeling on the sideline Saturday night that we were playing good defense, we were running the ball, we were able to keep the chains moving on offense, we were getting the ball into the end zone, and I think there was a general feeling of confidence about the outcome of the game.
We will certainly take the blame for this one. We started to look up the last time Monmouth had a shutout in the season, and just about when we did that, Holy Cross was able to score. So we'll put the broadcaster's jinx on that, and we'll certainly take the blame for that one. But let's talk about the defensive side of the ball a little bit, Coach. Had to wait until the 4:25 mark left in the fourth quarter that Holy Cross got themselves on the board, and that was after they went with not their third quarterback, who I can't imagine you guys prepared for very much because he was a freshman and I think had only thrown one pass going into that game, so not really what to expect out of Peter Poulias, who actually wound up playing a pretty good fourth quarter for Holy Cross. But really, up until that point, and even if you want to say the entire game, the defense looked as solid as it had all season long.
It did, and I thought the defensive play started with our guys up front. I thought the front four did a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage. The linebackers had terrific run fits, and Holy Cross was really unable to get anything going, either running inside or running outside. Once we knew they were in a situation where they were going to pass or had to pass, you know, then we were able to turn the guys loose a little bit. We didn't have the amount of sacks that we would like to on a day. We had a lot of pressures. We had a lot of sacks, sack opportunities where we missed a tackle. But I thought overall we played very well up front. And as I said earlier, Matt, in the last 3 weeks, we've been victimized by some big plays, big scoring plays, explosive plays by our opponent's offense. And that was something going into the Holy Cross game that we had to eliminate. And I, to the credit of the defensive secondary, they did eliminate those.
Talk about that front seven, 25 carries Holy Cross had for just 55 yards on the ground, an extremely impressive performance overall, and just a good solid win for Monmouth, 21-14 over Holy Cross. When you think about this one, Coach, you know, you could say, everyone could go backwards and say what ifs and, you know, how things could have gone in the first three games, but just getting this win, and as you talked about the confidence factor, getting that now, team, I'm sure the bus ride back was a little bit more pleasurable than it had been with some of the other games and even the home game last week against Lehigh. So a little bit of bounce in the step going into meetings on Sunday, practice on, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and everything else going on. It just makes the week that much easier to prepare now for next week's opponent.
Well, it does. When you work all week and you're focused in on getting the win on Saturday, when you don't get that win, there's tremendous disappointment. Unfortunately, we went through that, or had that feeling for three consecutive weeks, but our guys knew that we were getting close, and they continued to believe in what they were doing. They continued to believe in each other. They continued to have a high level of confidence, and we knew that going into the Holy Cross game that something good was going to happen, that we were on the verge of having a really good night, and that's exactly what you saw. So the bus ride home was a lot better. We had our meetings on Sunday, and the guys were excited, and then we put Holy Cross to bed, and then we started turning our focus to Columbia.
You're, believe it or not, a third of the way through the season, which seems crazy. You know, we talked about it actually on the broadcast. Because of the early start of the season, playing five games before September is almost done, which you will do coming up on Saturdays, is more of a rarity than it is a common occurrence. But, you know, at this point of the year, if you want to talk about the record, fine, but just the overall feel of the team, 1-3, and I think probably most people who follow the team, if you would have said going into September, at the end of the month, if you had a chance to be 3-2 or 2-3, I know everyone would like to say 4-1 and 5-0 would be great, and obviously it would, but to be more realistic, if you say 3-2 would probably be really good. 2-3 could be, when you look at the schedule where we're at, and with an opportunity on Sunday to be kind of maybe where the team should be after a couple of tough road trips to open up the year.
Well, you know, we did open up with some tough opponents, some nationally ranked opponents, some top 10 opponents, and, you know, they're good football teams. And I think that, but through playing those games, we learned a lot about ourselves, and we developed as a team at Monmouth. And, you know, we've got to take the lessons we learned in those first couple of games, and we've got to put them to use. And I think we saw that process start at Holy Cross on Saturday night. The key now is to continue that, to keep it moving. We're far from done. As you said, we're one-third of the way through the season. We've got a lot in front of us. We just have to keep focused on the process, continue to get better each and every week. Not necessarily worry about the opponent that we're playing, but make sure that we're continuing to make progress as a team.
Might sound like a strange question because of the record at 1-3, obviously not what anyone would necessarily want it to be if everything went perfect. But do you worry at all about a letdown coming off of such a, and I'll say dominant because in many facets it was, or because at 1-3, you can really preach to your team, hey, just take a peek at where we're at. We still, as you said, have a lot of work to do.
Well, I think your last comment is the accurate one. You know, we're 1-3. We've got a lot to do. 1-3 is not what anybody signed on for this year. We still have work to do. Even in the game against Holy Cross, we came off that field knowing there was a lot of things we could have been better at. You know, at the end of the game, in those last 5 minutes, you know, we let up a couple of scores on defense. We had an opportunity when it was 21-7 and we were on offense to run the clock out. We go 3-and-out there. We have a mistake in the kicking game in a crucial situation. You know, those are things that mistakes that good football teams don't make. So all 55 minutes were excellent. There was 5 minutes where we got some work to do.
Yeah, if anything, you come out of that game with a lesson of saying 55 was great, but in the last five, you see how quickly things can certainly turn around. So a lesson to be had. But all in all, good solid win for Monmouth. They pick up their first W of the year up in Worcester, Mass. 21-14 over Holy Cross in the first matchup ever between the two schools. We'll take a timeout here. We'll make it a two-minute break. When we come back, we'll take the show in one of two directions. We hope to have Pete Mangurian on to talk about this Columbia football team. If not, we'll bring on one of our first guests of the night here on site, either Brandon Maxwell or KB Asante. Quick pause on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Two-minute timeout. We're back with more from Jack's Goal Line Stand on the West End on the Shore Sports Network. And we are back here on a Tuesday night. We do this each and every week of the college football season. Monmouth picking up their first win of the year, 21-14 over Holy Cross. This week, the Hawks with another first-time opponent on the schedule, taking on the Lions of Columbia. Again, hoping to have Pete Mangurian on, the head coach of Columbia, in just a couple of minutes. We'll see if Coach good enough to call in tonight within the next few minutes. As we kind of think about this, Coach, you know, the number of actually first-year opponents on the schedule, I don't think there's been a year short of obviously maybe the first couple
the first
of years.
Year, right.
The first year where you played everyone for the first time, but Montana State first time, Liberty first time, Holy Cross first time, and now Columbia first time. So you got four first teams on the schedule, you know, in a first-ever matchup. Is that, I hate to say by design because I know everything's by design on the schedule, but again, just a way to kind of challenge the team with different opponents, try to work your way into different leagues, which I know has always kind of been your scheduling philosophy.
Well, the thought process going into the 2013 season was first and foremost we were independent, so we had to go put a schedule together. We knew we could probably put some NEC teams on the schedule, which we did kind of on the back half of it. But I also wanted to expose our team to the caliber of football and the level of play that we were going to see as we enter the Big South in 2014. The Liberty game, believe it or not, we had scheduled 3 years ago. That was one game that we were going to travel down there. We were looking for games to round out our schedule, and my good friend Rob Ash at Montana State, he and I talked. They were looking for an opening game, and you know, they made it a pretty good deal for us to go out there, and I think it was a great trip for our team, albeit but the final score. But we had an opportunity to play the number two team in the nation and experience what that level of play was going to be like. We picked up Holy Cross in Columbia this year, and again, the Columbia game was actually scheduled 5 years ago, and that's a home and home. They will return the game to us and come to West Long Branch next season, and Holy Cross will return the game and visit West Long Branch in 2015. And as we go into the Big South, our scheduling philosophy is to fill the non-conference slots on our schedule with teams from the Patriot, teams from the Ivy, and teams from the CAA or the Colonial. And I think that will give our schedule a Northeast flavor. Even though we're going to be in the Big South and we'll have three games played below the Mason-Dixon line every year with three others at home, I think we need to have a Northeast flavor on the schedule. And those three conferences, the Patriot, the Ivy, and the CAA, will do that for us.
When you think about, you know, scheduling this year and then obviously moving forward, has it become easier or more difficult to schedule games involving Monmouth? And I say that only because, you know, at one point the NEC had this number of scholarships and you were either scheduling either underneath that or above it. And now it seems like most leagues are trying to work their way up. The Patriot League is a great example. They've now continued to kind of push for scholarships where they'll add 15.
They have them this year, right?
Where they'll add 15 over the course of the next 4 years to get to that 60 mark and then keep obviously turning them over. So they'll be where a league like the Big South will be. Not necessarily the Ivy, but they're kind of a different brand where they do more scholarships and equivalencies than anything else, and bringing academic money into the fold. They have obviously that kind of ability to do that as well. So is it harder or easier to have teams either play Monmouth or set up home and homes?
I think it's going to be easier. This 2013, 14, and possibly 15, those will be the difficult years. We were able to put together a very challenging schedule for 13. It's a schedule that our team is excited about, and it's quite honestly a schedule that I'm very satisfied with. We're working on rounding out the 14 schedule right now, and most of those games are scheduled, as I was saying about Columbia and Holy Cross, they're scheduled 4, 5, and 6 years out. So to get games for next year or the year after is a little bit difficult. Once we get through that, I think it will become easier. Right now we're scheduling games for 2017, 2018, and beyond, but it's that interim years, that, you know, 14, 15, that might be a little challenging. We're currently in conversations with a number of schools, and as we had talked about on previous shows, our goal is to get an FBS opponent in there as well.
When you look, you know, I pulled up actually the most recent top 25 from the sports network, and obviously most of the leagues are represented. When you play a team like Montana State, and you did in the opener, do you find yourself following them as the season goes on, or you have so much, I know you have so many other things to worry about with your coming opponent, do you find yourself though looking at the scoreboard every week?
You do. You track who you've played and how they're doing and what their scores are and who they're playing. And, you know, the week after we played Montana State, they traveled down to Texas and played SMU. It was a game that they were leading until literally 12 seconds left in the game. SMU threw a touchdown pass, but and then is Montana State got the ball back and tried kind of a one last desperation play. They lost their quarterback for the season on that play. They were able to come back the next week and win with their backup. And then just recently last weekend, they lost to Sam Houston State. So, you know, I'm trying to see how they're going with things. Liberty was off to a great start the season. They just lost to Richmond last weekend. So to answer your question, yes, we follow everybody that we play and are interested in how they're doing.
Have you already started to, let's say, track teams in the Big South this year that you know you will play, obviously, in league play next year?
I have. And as a matter of fact, the Big South got off to a great start for the season. They were 9-2. In non-conference games early on, the two losses coming to FBS teams, but you know they did a very good job against the Colonial Athletic teams that they played, and they had great wins over the Southern Conference. So Big South is off to a great start this year. It appears that the league is going to be extremely strong.
Yeah, Liberty with a loss last week in non-conference play. Gardner-Webb beat Wofford, which was a bit of an upset at the time. Coastal Carolina has looked great up until this point of the season. They are 4-0 beating Hampton. Charleston Southern knocked off Norfolk State. They're also 4-0 with a 20-12 win. And VMI, which will leave the league after this season, did get beat up by Virginia 49-0. So, you know, no one has really gotten into that league schedule yet where you can figure it out a little bit. And I guess it's probably hard to gauge teams when they're playing non-conference opponents because, you know, case in point, even though they're not necessarily going to be a league opponent next year, VMI lost to Virginia 49-0.
Right.
How much can you take out of that game, something like that?
Very, very little, to be honest with you. First of all, they're playing up. They're playing an FBS team. You know, I haven't really seen anything on VMI right now. I really don't know very much about them as a team. I've looked at their scores, obviously, so I really don't know how to gauge that. I did see that Gardner-Webb in their season opening game played Wake Forest in a very close game. They came back and they beat, I believe it was Richmond in week two, which was a very good win for them. And as you said, they beat Wofford last weekend. So as a conference, the Big South is doing very well. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of challenges as we move into the Big South in 2014.
When you look, I thought it was interesting this past week, just as a conversation piece as well, that ESPN had their College Game Day show on the campus of North Dakota State, which again says kind of the direction that FCS football is going. It might be once during the course of the whole season, but once gives a lot more attention than nothing at all.
It does, and you know you could just tell. But if you've watched North Dakota State over the last two seasons, and certainly this season, you know they're a team to be reckoned with. They went into Manhattan, Kansas, and completely dominated Kansas State in the first game of the season. They're a team, as I said, won back-to-back FCS championships, and it appears from what I've seen early on in the season that they could be in the mix again this year.
Yeah, 3-0 so far this year, and at least the Sports Network poll, they have 157 of the 158 first-place votes this past week. Eastern Washington voted out a little bit in a way. A team like Youngstown State, a team like right. Stony Brook, where, you know, everyone's still kind of figuring out how do we treat some of these teams
sure.
moving forward that might be leaving FCS football.
Well, I think what that is attributed to is the balance and the parity that there is in FCS football. There's probably 30 teams that could be in the top 20. You see, as you track the scores each and every week and who's playing the FBS teams and what their scores are and how they're doing, a case could be made for any one of those teams to make it into the top 20 or 25. I think last year, a case in point, Lehigh, a team that went 10-1 on the season, was not invited in the playoffs, did not get the at-large bid. And I don't know when the last time a 10-win team that won a league championship, or actually they didn't win the league championship, but a 10-win team was excluded from the playoffs.
Yeah, and you see a team actually even thinking of the Patriot League like Fordham, who may be the best team in the league. They're actually ineligible for the playoffs this year and off to a great start at 4-0 with some really good wins, including a Columbia team, which they kind of rolled over last week. We'll take a timeout here. When we come back, we'll talk things over with Brandon Maxwell, fifth-year senior offensive lineman. We'll do that after this quick break. Two-minute timeout. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. And we welcome you back here, getting set for week five out in Columbia, up in the Bronx, as Monmouth coming into that game at 1-3, fresh off a 21-14 win over Holy Cross. Big reason why MU has had such success on the ground the last couple of weeks, the offensive line. And one of those guys, the one of the starting tackles, Brandon Maxwell, the fifth-year senior center. Brandon, I want to thank you for coming on the show. How are you tonight?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you for being here. Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. It's certainly good to have you here. And let's talk about what has kind of, I hate to say, transformed the team the last couple of weeks, but in a way it has. You know, and I know you're used to the last couple of years thinking about Monmouth maybe even throwing the football a little bit more than it's run with the likes of Kyle Frazier, but the last 2 weeks for sure it has been the running game which has dominated. And I know as an offensive lineman that normally puts a big smile on your face.
Of course. This year it's kind of a different mentality. We've always had the mentality of old linemen just coming out, doing our work, doing our thing, and creating the holes, letting the running backs do the rest, the quarterbacks doing the rest as well. But this year, we have, you know, different people, different kind of team. So we had to adapt. And we, as an offensive group, we trust our backs and they trust us. And we just have good chemistry and it all works out.
You know, so important, Coach, to have, as we talked about actually in our first segment tonight, to have those guys. When you get fifth-year offensive linemen, it's kind of like not just building blocks, but guys that you can literally lean on to help the offense along in times of struggle.
Well, the experience alone is something that, you know, is really good for our offense. Having three guys who are in their fifth year, three guys who played an awful lot of football for us, you know, really we can rely on that group. And I think that they've not only done a great job in terms of their performance, but they've also been great leaders within our offensive unit. And as we saw, when we had to lean on them in each of the last 2 weeks, we were able to get two backs to go over 100 yards. And I think that the credit for
Peter Ireland
and Reese Johnston. There we go.
I got you, Coach. Don't worry.
Cover me on that one. And but they're doing a great job. They really are.
So now, Brandon, you know tomorrow you can go to practice and say, hey, guys, you know, Coach forgot a couple of us. That's kind of what it's like, though, being an offensive lineman, isn't it? It's being like the forgotten guys who normally you get noticed for a couple things. One, if you commit a penalty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two, if you miss a block and someone either gets hit in the backfield or a quarterback gets sacked. No one really says, as statistics would indicate, hey, two guys over 100 yards, nobody would start with the offensive line must have played great. It's those running backs really had a good day. What does that make you feel like?
It's a little different. It's definitely new for us to get the attention. You know, we do our job, and we leave. Like I said, we trust the running backs, and they do their job. If anything, we get in the way. It's really all them. You know, we just do our job, and that's really it.
So I want to go back a couple of weeks and almost talk about the beginning of the season with you, because you saw a couple of not just good but very good defenses in weeks one and two.
Absolutely.
Montana State, where actually there was success on the ground, especially in the second half. Julian, I know, broke over the 100-yard mark. But I think through the first 4 weeks of the season, the defense that, even with a veteran group like you guys are, that you struggled with a little bit, was dealing with Liberty down in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Was it something that, and I say this only because I'm just curious more than anything else, because of the way that you played the last couple weeks, basically just taking Lehigh and Holy Cross and pushing them backwards so that the running backs had such great lanes to run with. Was it something that Liberty did? Was it a bad matchup for Monmouth, which sometimes can happen? You just have a bad matchup sometimes where your strength doesn't necessarily play in to their weakness.
I mean, to be honest, they were a little bit bigger, a little more intimidating. Definitely nothing we've never seen before. We prepare just like we do every week. I mean, they some team, you know, they just get the better of us sometimes.
Well, and I think, too, in both in those first 2 weeks, we saw defenses that were not only very fast, but they were very explosive.
Yes.
The quickness of the defensive linemen to go along with the size, as you mentioned, Brandon, was something that we don't see every week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not saying it caught us off guard. I think we were certainly prepared for it. But to play defensive fronts with that athleticism along with that size, I think right. was a bit different for us.
Yeah, they were very technically sound. They moved very well.
Is that maybe the big difference in, I'll say, Monmouth kind of bumping the schedule up even more this season with the likes of Montana State and Liberty? And, you know, Lehigh again, even though you guys had the better of them on the offensive line, but playing those bigger schools where you don't necessarily just have the guy who's big or the guy who's fast. You've got the guy who's big and fast kind of put mm-hmm. together in one, where maybe in years past Monmouth is used to one or the other. Like if it's a big offensive line, okay, let's try outside. If it's the quick offensive line, let's pound right at them. But if it's both, it might be difficult to deal with.
Yeah, like I said, it was a little intimidating at first. We were able to handle it as best we could. It definitely made us better in the end. We learned a lot from it. And the next couple games, we improved. We made some changes, and we were able to find success.
In those two games, were somewhat of a benchmark game for us, Matt, and I think Brandon will attest to that. We played teams that we knew had very talented players. They're fully funded programs. They're nationally ranked. And we knew that would let us know where we are in relationship to where their programs are. Certainly with Liberty, it's a team we're going to face on an annual basis in the Big South, and we needed to get a gauge of how we matched up and what we needed to do moving forward. And as Brandon said, in each of those first 2 weeks, we improved, we learned from it. We were better in week two against Liberty than we were in the opening game against Montana State. We were better in the Lehigh game than we were in the Liberty game. And I think the experience of playing those two games really helped us. It helped us develop as we move forward. We saw that start to come to fruition in the Lehigh game, and then we saw it take yet another step Saturday night at Holy Cross.
You know, Brandon, one of the things that we talked about in the broadcast on Saturday night, and it seemed to be a theme for a while, it was your side of the offensive line that the ball seemed to be going to, that right side, just pounding away, pounding away, pounding away. And then all of a sudden it flipped, and it went to the left side for a little while. So I would think as an offensive lineman, yeah, you love for the ball to be called your way, but mm-hmm. when you know that it can go from tackle to tackle and you can run right side and left side, not that it is less pressure, but it just, you know, it makes everything easier to know, hey, we're going left this time, next time we're going right. And it doesn't matter for us because we'll beat you either way.
Of course, it's a big relief, and also it's a big trust thing. Knowing that we can trust the left side as well as the right, it just makes it easier on all of us.
It also provides a lot of balance in terms of the play calling. Right when you say, Brandon, and be able to go either direction and have positive results, it makes it our offense and our running game in particular that much more difficult to defend.
When you think about Saturday's game, again, you have two guys go over 100 yards, 130 for Julian, 118 for KB. And the other number that I'll throw in there is no sacks during the course of the night. When you kind of roll all that together, and I won't say perfect because I know there's no such thing as a perfect game, but is that almost as good as it gets for an offensive lineman? Two guys over 100, and no one sacked our quarterback all night long.
That's just about as good as it gets. The only thing better is singing that fight song at the end. It's getting a win.
Do you get like an extra snack or a sandwich from one of the running backs? You know, who's more giving? Is KB an easier guy to deal with than Julian, or is it vice versa? Or are both of them a little bit selfish and they won't give you a crumb of what's left?
No, they're both great guys. I can't thank them enough. We do our job and they do ours. They do theirs, and like I said, it's a big trust thing. They trust us as well as we trust them. And me and KB were joking earlier about a deal we made. If he gets a certain amount of yards, he's going to treat us to the big steak dinner at the end of the season.
What's the benchmark, or don't you want to say?
I believe the minimum was 900
for over the course of the season. Well, I'm sure we can come up with some sort of statistical manipulation so that he has to take you out to dinner regardless. We'll see if he can dig in his pocket a little bit. Brandon Maxwell giving us a couple of minutes here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Hawks getting set for Columbia on Saturday afternoon. That's an early kickoff, by the way, 12:30 start time up in the Bronx. So, Brandon, a couple more before we let you go. How do you take what you guys did so well in Saturday night's win against Holy Cross and continue to get better?
We found a lot of success in that game, and we're just going to keep building on it. facing each team. We've taken giant steps between after every single game, and you know, just watching film, being prepared, things like that. That the coaching staff prepares us. It does an excellent job in preparing us.
Brian Gabriel, of course, the offensive line coach who has been with Monmouth for so long. How much do you learn as an offensive lineman watching film? How important is that? Because I've talked to a couple of the guys over the course of the first couple weeks on the field and here on the show, and they all say the same thing. That's kind of like the company line. We're prepared. We're ready. We know what the other team is going to do. Can you really learn a lot watching film?
Absolutely. Brian Gabriel is awesome. Great coach. Prepares us in every single way. He gives us every front, every single movement. We're 100% prepared.
One more question, and I ask this just out of curiosity more so than anything else. Coach has got a smile on it because he knows it's going to be one of these curveball kind of harming questions that he finishes the interview with. Who made the decision, or did he do it himself, to make Mike Hunchek basically the spokesperson for the offensive line? You've answered already. I mean, he did it himself.
He kind of just took the role himself.
Which is okay, right? He's the guy in the middle. So he's the glue that kind of holds everything together.
He's the guy who's more talkative of the group.
Brandon, appreciate the time. Great game on Saturday. And it is a great accomplishment when you think about it. The first time since 2007 that MU had two guys go over 100 yards, and you guys did it in back-to-back weeks, in weeks 3 and 4. Continued success. Looking forward to seeing you guys play on Saturday and keep this going with another win.
Thank you very much.
Great job, Brandon.
Brandon Maxwell, fifth-year offensive lineman. We'll take a timeout here. When we come back, we'll be joined by KB Asante. We'll talk a little bit more about the rushing attack, which has been so potent for MU the last couple of weeks. Two-minute break. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. And we are back here for another segment of the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. With us now, the senior running back from Silver Spring, Maryland, KB Asante, 118 yards on the ground this past week, back-to-back 100-yard games for him. Had a touchdown run as well for the season now at 264 on the year and two scores. Great yards per carry average as well, over 6 yards per touch. KB, thanks for giving us a couple minutes. How are you tonight, bud?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good. A repeat guy from last year to this year. So this is old hat kind of for you, right?
Yeah, it's my second time on the show. I'm real excited.
So is it 900 yards? Is that where you're going to have to dig into the pocket a little bit more?
Yeah, I had a talk with my O-line today in the weight room, and we had a discussion. They were just like, 900 is a good benchmark, and I have to take everybody out, the whole line. So that's the deal.
That's going to be trouble for you if you have to do it.
Yeah, no.
You realize that, right? Just in case you know. All right. So let's talk about the season up until this point, and then we'll look ahead, obviously, to this coming game. What has been working so well for you guys? And it's easy to say they're just giving us the ball and the offensive line is blocking, but why have the last 2 weeks running the football been different than the first couple of weeks were?
I just think the O-line is on their game. They came into their own zone. You know, the first 2 weeks it was a bit of a learning experience because, you know, we went up against Montana State and Liberty. But you can tell through practice and their film preparation that they're really on their stuff. So they make it easy for us. They make their reads easy, and all we have to do is run the ball for real.
You split time with Julian Hayes, and both of you guys have gone over 100 yards the last couple of weeks. And friendly competition has been what both of you guys have kind of said each time I've talked to you about, you know, having two guys who probably, if all things were considered, you would get the ball more because the other guy wouldn't be there. But it is kind of nice to know that you have each other to push each other in practice, to know that you can kind of maybe do a little bit of different things during the course of a game. And in a case like Saturday, he carried the ball 28 times. You carried it 24. Those are actually really good numbers to get the ball in terms of touches overall.
The competition, I mean, it makes us better as players. You know, me and Julian, we're real good friends on and off the field, but, you know, we try to push each other to be the best we can be when we're on the field, and I feel like that translates into games.
The other thing that it does, Matt, is it having a fresh back all the time really wears down opposing defenses. While our offensive line is doing an excellent job opening holes and getting on their blocks, to be able to continually go with a guy who's fresh and ready and hungry to go out there, it wears on people, and I think we saw that firsthand on Saturday night. You know, Julian had a series where he was pounding the ball away. We come in with KB the next series, and the chains are still moving. And before you know it, they're both ripping off those big runs. And, And I think there's a lot to be said for that, that there's no fall off from one to the other. They both give us great opportunities and great runs, and when we can use both of them and go to either one, they're always going to be fresh when we put them in the game.
KB, when you think about it, you know, sometimes I feel like it gets done by series, and sometimes during the course of a series you guys will rotate back and forth. Is there a set plan where you guys know, hey, this is going to be my series, this is his, and if it's six plays in a row, he's probably going to need a break and I'm going to work myself in? Or is it just more on the fly and whoever's having the better game sometimes?
Our running backs coach Sam Dorsett does a good job of letting us know we have designated series, but if, let's say, we have a long series and you can see someone's wearing down, he'll let us know to go in, and then two plays later when he catches breath, and the other will go back right in, so we can stay fresh the whole time and keep him moving.
That's true. I know that Sam does have a plan when he's going to substitute and rotate the guys in, but they're also watching very carefully at how they're doing. And Saturday night in particular, when we would run the ball six or seven consecutive times, particularly on that long drive, that 14, 15-play drive, you know, I know that Sam was particularly watching and just kind of reading the body language, how they were holding up, and because they were pounding away and being very physical in their runs. And I know that one point during that series, he pulled them out, put the other guy in, just to continue the fresh back wearing away at Holy Cross.
Savviness of a senior, too, mentioning the new running back coach who's in attendance tonight. Smart man. Maybe you get an extra tuck or two during the course of the Columbia game. Of course, Sam Dorsett is in his first year as the running back coach, taking over for Chris Davian, who had the position for a long time. And not to compare one to the other, KB, but what has Coach Dorsett brought that's helped you become a better running back this year?
Little things. He's real big on footwork, and then he's cleaned up our footwork a lot from last year, and those things has helped us a lot in our game this year, because he honed on it. Footwork. And like our reads too, he helps us press a lot more this year, so we're pressing and making better cuts. But yeah, I would have to say the main thing he focuses on is our footwork, and he gets us right.
Are you anticipating that the last 2 weeks will be kind of an indication of maybe where the season is headed in terms of the offense? You know, the last couple of years, sometimes there were more days than not that the passing game was maybe yardage-wise or play-wise ahead of the running game. But the last 2 weeks, it's been the run game, which I know makes you guys, you and Julian, both smile to know that you've kind of been the ones who have carried the load. Do you see this trend continuing starting on Saturday with Columbia?
I feel as though going forward, our running game is going to help open up our passing game. Not to say that we're just going to be running the whole time, but I feel as though our running game is going to help open up our passing game a little bit more. And the old linemen, you know, doing their jobs up front, is just going to help us all together as a team, as an offense.
I think what we're also seeing this year is kind of the coming and maturing of both our offensive line and the running back position. We've got, two running backs who are experienced, who've been in games, who know exactly what they're doing and are physical, powerful runners. We've got an offensive line that features three fifth-year seniors who've played a lot of football for us. And I think the combination of the two, what we have in the backfield and the maturity and the development of our offensive line, have come together and give us this result. And, you know, what we've done the last 2 weeks has been outstanding. To have, you know, two 100-yard backs for two consecutive weeks is a tribute to that process, to that maturation of both groups.
He's gotten better, KB, the last couple weeks, and we're here with KB Asante, senior running back for Monmouth. And I'm talking about, when I say he, Brandon Hill, the quarterback. But at the beginning part of the season, there is kind of that adjustment period to what you guys are used to with Kyle, who had been the starter for so many years. Did you realize that, you know, there probably would be times that it would be the running game that would kind of have to carry the load when there might be some inconsistent play quarterback a little bit?
Yeah, we realized after graduating Kyle, you know, a great player for us, a fifth-year senior at last year, obviously, broke a lot of records. We realized that it was going to be a period where we were going to have to carry the ball more, and that's why we are prepared the way we prepared in the offseason, spring ball, summertime, and we knew that we were just going to have to step up. And like you said, we are both experienced, so we just knew that we were just going to have to take it and step up our play.
Coach and I will spend, after we take a break, when our interview is done, talking about Columbia a little bit. But I want to know from you, as you have watched film of Columbia the last couple days, tell me what you see and what you think Monmouth can do well coming on Saturday afternoon.
I see Columbia's front four, and I think that they will be a challenge, but I think our O-line will be up to the challenge. And I think we're going to control the line of scrimmage, and we will be able to run or pass, whichever.
Well, looking forward to that. Monmouth will take on Columbia Saturday afternoon. One final one. You know, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, maybe not so much tight ends, but definitely running backs and wide receivers are known as skill guys, right? They're the guys that get the ball all the time. Wide receivers, and Coach said this actually last week, they have a knack for always thinking that they're open. Anytime that there's a pass play, you should throw me the ball, because whether I'm triple covered or there's no one within 20 yards of me, it doesn't make a difference. Throw me the ball. Are running backs the same? When you come out of the game after maybe getting a couple carries in a row and Coach subs Julian in for you or vice versa, do you come out and say, Coach, I didn't need to come out. You can just keep giving me the ball.
I don't say anything like that.
You're quiet when you come out?
No, they think that. They don't say it. They think it's fourth and eight from our own 20. We should run it, and we'll get it easy, too.
So that's,
I've heard that.
That's the difference, though. The wide receivers are more chatty than the running backs. You guys think it, but they usually talk it a little bit more.
They express it a little bit more, yeah.
All right. Well, good enough. I learned something again tonight. KB, thanks for giving us a few minutes. Good luck on Saturday against Columbia. Continued success. And I hate to say this to you, I do hope you get to that 900-yard mark, because I'd love to see you dig into your pocket a little bit.
Oh, man. All right, thanks a lot. I had a good time being on the show.
All right, good job, KB.
Thanks, KB.
KB Asante, the senior from Silver Spring, Maryland. We take a time out here. We are back in 2 minutes. Coach and I will wrap it up with some talk about Columbia, this week's opponent for Monmouth. We step out for a brief pause here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. You're listening live on the Shore Sports Network. Last couple of minutes here on a Tuesday night. Monmouth up this week in the Bronx area to take on Columbia, a team that last week lost to Fordham 52-7, the final score there. And coaches, we kick this segment off, as we always do, like to talk about this week's opponent. It's a Columbia team which, you know, has waited, as most Ivy League schools do, as all Ivy League schools do, to that kind of middle point of September to kind of start their season. So they had week one last week, not a very good performance statistically and also score-wise, losing to a very good Fordham team who's now in the top 20, and also a couple of key injuries. They lost their quarterback early on in their game, who is done now for the season. So all of a sudden, maybe you go from thinking, all right, they're throw the ball or whatever you think they're going to do, to not maybe knowing a whole lot what they're going to do with a whole week of preparation with their backup.
Well, it's hard to get a gauge on what they are and who they are as a football team, Matt. As you said, they've only played one game, and in that game they lost the quarterback early in the second half, and then they kind of just settled into a very basic game plan. They didn't do a lot on either side of the ball, and that could be for a couple of reasons. It could be because it's their first game, and they're not quite sure what they are yet and what they have. It could be the fact that they have 21 freshmen and sophomores in their two deep, and they're a very young team, and as a coaching staff, they don't want to throw an awful lot at them. But we found it in breaking them down and watching their Fordham game, that the defensive side was pretty static. They didn't move around an awful lot. And on offense, they were fundamentally sound, but they didn't.
Playing this year and working their way into the two deep. But when you think about it, they might be, as coaches, still kind of figuring out. And, you know, using these first couple of games, just as a lot of teams do, to get themselves ready for conference play. You know, to answer those questions now so that they know come October when we got to play Penn and Princeton and Cornell, we know exactly what we have.
They may very well be doing that, Matt, and gearing up for the Ivy League portion of their schedule, which won't happen for a couple of weeks yet. It's really hard to say. I know that Coach Mangerian is a very experienced coach. He's coached in the NFL. He's coached in a major college level for several years. They have an excellent staff. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to prepare their players the way that they see best heading into the schedule.
It is a home opener, as Columbia will come into this one at 0-1, losing to Fordham last week 52-7. Now, I know, you know, there's usually that mutual exchange of film. Do you get stuff from them last year plus this week one game, or did you just get week one?
Our exchange was just of this year's film. We got their week one game, and they got our Holy Cross game. So we each, at least that's what we think they got, is just our Holy Cross game. That's what they got from us. So we've each got one game on each other, and we're basing everything that we're going to do off that one game. Now, statistically, you know, they do have the benefit of looking at our statistics from the three previous weeks and making some decisions with whatever they are based upon that. But we only have the one game. And I will say this, that the Fordham team that they played is an excellent football team. As you mentioned earlier, Matt, they're a top 20 team. They were a team that the week before Columbia, they beat Temple, an FBS team. They dominated a very strong Villanova team the week before that. They're currently 4-0. And just watching it on video, you could tell that they're a team that's going to be reckoned with. Very talented, very deep on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Fordham, just number-wise, their quarterback threw for about 350 yards. They put a running back over 150 and another one at 85 on the season, which was their quarterback, who had a great day, over 400 yards of total offense. So defensively for Columbia, as Coach Van Zyl and the offensive staff kind of looks at that side of the football, you know, I would think, you know, not knowing Fordham's offense and what exactly they do, but they must be able to take something and say, okay, we know what Fordham did and what they had success with. Not that you want to mimic it, but now we know where we can attack a little bit.
Well, that's true, Matt. Every week you take what the previous offense did against the defense. You looked at what was successful for them, and more importantly, why it was successful. Then you look at what you have in your own scheme that is similar to what they're doing or that can complement that, and you try to include those type of things in a game plan. You also pinpoint areas you want to attack, whether it's in the run game or in the pass game, and how you would be able to attack that with the players that we have and with the skill levels of the players that we have.
And finally, to go back to the Columbia offense, Brett Nottingham was a transfer from Stanford, was playing fairly well, did have a couple interceptions before being hurt and lost for the season. Their backup, Trevor McDonough, took over 8 of 17 for 83 yards, did throw for a score. But one of the numbers, Coach, that I want to kind of pop out at you is between the two quarterbacks, they were sacked 5 times, which again would indicate maybe you can get to the quarterback a little bit through a variety of different ways. And I thought pass rush-wise, we saw Monmouth kind of take a step forward in that regard against Holy Cross.
We did. That's an area where we improved in terms of putting pressure on the quarterback last week. We didn't always finish as well as we could have. There were some opportunities for sacks that we didn't get or we missed the tackle, and we need to do a better job in that area. But Fordham did put an awful lot of pressure on the Columbia quarterbacks. Now, Fordham's front is extremely athletic. Fordham is a heavy blitz-oriented defense and bring a lot of different zone pressures, and they had the quarterbacks from Columbia on their heels all game long.
Marcoris Garrett, who is a senior running back, maybe the guy to keep an eye on in this one, had a good season last year, did have just about 90 yards carrying the football, but as Monmouth defensively kind of held Holy Cross in check to an offense that the week before it ran for 400 against Central Connecticut State to 55 on the ground, that would probably be the one key again to this week. If you can stop the running game and maybe make the backup quarterback, who will now be the starter, have to throw the football, maybe again you pressure a little bit more and you look for a couple more interceptions and turnovers.
That would be key to make them one-dimensional if we can. And Marcoris Garrett is a talented running back. He's a very strong physical runner, much like the two guys that we have. He had, as you said, a good year last year, just under 1,000 yards, had a couple of very good games. He had 89 yards on Saturday against Fordham. He broke off a couple of long runs. He's a good cutback runner. He takes things backside quite frequently. He's a guy that we've got to focus on. He's the guy that we have to stop. And if we can do that, and we can get them into a situation where they're more one-dimensional offensively, I think that'll be in our favor.
Two in a row, well within the reach of Monmouth this week up at Columbia. Coach, appreciate it tonight. Great show, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Appreciate it, Matt.
12:30 kickoff for MU this week in the city against the Lions of Columbia. We're on the air at 12:15. Our thanks tonight to Brandon Maxwell and KB Asante, our guests on the show tonight, for all of us here from Jack's goal line stand, the head coach of the MU Hawks, Kevin Callahan. Technical assistance tonight by the entire crew of the MU staff. Matt Harmon saying so long. We'll see you Saturday. Go Hawks.